love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Welcome, everyone, to a special one-off episode of Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. Today, we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to do our normal episode where we tackle a property, the original, remake, reboot, revival. Today, we're going to stick to the remake theme of our podcast, and we're going to do a little countdown. We're going to count down our favorite top three movie remakes ever. And when I say we, it's going to be me, Nicole.
And I'm Rolando. Wow, me, Rolando.
And also Eddie Z, our longtime producer, and someone I've always mentioned in this podcast, and now will be here for the first time, my beloved girlfriend, Jenny. Because, you know, why not join in? So, and you guys get to meet her.
Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
What an honor.
We're also recording this as a video, so going over to YouTube, check us out, youtube.com/remakesreboots revivals, and you can check out this video content and some of our other videos if you ever wanted to know what we looked like and, you know, just wanted to give us a boost on our YouTube.
All right, but before we begin, make sure you follow us on our social media. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/remakesreboots revivals. We're also on Instagram. That Instagram is popping, so be sure to follow us, Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. You can also send us an email. Our email address is remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. Be sure to rate and give us a review on Apple iTunes because that will help people find us.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're feeling chatty, give us a call on our Remakes, Reboots, Revivals hotline. Leave us a voicemail at 862-248-2326. Again, if you're feeling chatty and want to give us a clap back, 862-248-2326. Yes. All right. And without any further ado, let's get to our lists. So we're going to go from three and then two and then one. So I guess three is your least favorite and one being your most favorite when it comes to movie remakes.
Oh, these are like, these are our favorites though.
Yes, these are.
So it's like, it's not our least best... favorite. It is our favorite, so... but not number one. It would be number three. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Like in terms of your favorite, your least of the favorites to your most of the favorites, if
got
that makes
it,
sense.
Got it, got it. Okay. Very well.
And also, yeah, the criteria is just, you know, anything that has been a movie before and has been remade into another movie and you think is superior or you at least enjoy to the original.
It has to have been just remade into a movie. Doesn't have to have started as a movie.
We could do that. If it does, okay. It wasn't started as a movie, that's okay.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, because like, I think one of mine here was not started as a movie.
Interesting. Do you want to go first, Orlando?
Yeah, I'll go first. I'll kick things off. So my number three that I thought of, and mind you, I just want to be I'm going to be totally upfront, like we came up with this idea like not that long ago, so I was just like more so I thought it was any remake or reboot because I had other ones that were bomb, but the remake itself kind of threw me for a loop. So I was just thinking of just my gut feelings of what are the things that I think about as my favorite remakes. So my number three pick is The Mask of Zorro, starring Antonio Banderas, Hopkins, and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That's a good pick. Have you seen the original Zorro?
Of course. I used to watch it on Vault Disney.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Vault Disney. Nice.
Yeah, Vault Disney. They used to play it all the time. I love Zorro. Zorro is one of my favorite heroes. Interestingly enough, Zorro is also in public domain. So technically speaking, anyone can make a Zorro movie if they wanted to. And I always had this idea of kind of doing a Zorro movie, but like modern times. And I would have loved it if it could have been like Zorro maybe out down in the South, like trying to free some of those children in cages and stuff, right? Like make it very heavy political and stuff. I think that would be the slant I would go with.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, would you make him gay? Even though I think Zorro is already out there gay.
I would
somewhere.
Make him bisexual.
Yeah.
You that's, know? Yeah. I feel like Don Diego would be bi, not straight up just gay.
I totally believe you. And I think there's not enough good representation out there of the Bs for the LGBTs.
I agree.
So,
yeah. No, he has to seduce anyone and everyone to get to his goals.
That's a great pick. Yeah.
Thank you. And, you know, I think I think The Mask of Zorro is such a fun movie. You know, is it the greatest movie? No, but it is fun. I think it's such a fun ride, and I think Antonio Banderas is such a great job of like kind of taking on the mantle of Zorro. I think Anthony Hopkins gives a pretty good, solid performance, and this is like the breakout role for our Catherine Zeta-Jones, right?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Mm-hmm. That was when she became Supes famous.
Yeah, and you know, fun movie, fun ride, storyline made a lot of mostly sense. I don't know how realistic it is that like Texas would buy its freedom from Mexico stealing their gold, but you know, here we are.
And America, right?
America, right.
Nice. All right, cool. Eddie, what about you? What's your number three?
My number three is the Aladdin remake, live action.
Oh, wow. Okay. You went for something we covered on the podcast.
Yes,
nice.
Yes, actually. I did enjoy that one very much. Out of all the live actions that Disney came out with within that last 2 years, that was the one I kind of enjoyed. Yeah, one that I enjoyed the most.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really enjoyed was how they really developed the Jasmine character this particular mm-hmm. remake.
Yeah.
So I'm, as my number three, I'm a big fan of that one.
Interesting that you picked that movie and not Jungle Book. So I'm kind
that's
of,
your favorite, yeah, Redlands.
It is my favorite. I assumed it was also Eddie's, but I guess not.
Yeah. That's, you know, when we did the best of 2019, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we did pick that as our favorite movie remake of that year. Like, because TV wise, we did Watchmen, but I think for movies, we decided that Aladdin was the best one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember.
That says something about the state of movies, but.
I mean, it does say more about the state of movies than anything, but. No, I mean, Aladdin was a fun. Aladdin was better. I think it could have been better, but I think overall, I think it was out of the Disney remakes, it's probably one of the better ones.
It definitely is. It was its own movie, it felt like, you know.
Yes.
Unlike Lion King, which was just a shot-for-shot remake.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Which Rolando notoriously hated.
It's easily one of my least favorite Disney movie remakes.
Yeah. Speaking of Disney movie remakes, babe, what's your number three? I mean, I don't know what your number three is. I just feel like that was a good segue.
It was an excellent segue because it's It.
It's It?
It's It.
Oh, wow.
It's It.
Which chapter or all together?
The first chapter.
Okay, chapter one.
Chapter one.
That's a good pick.
Because I'm like, I'm scared of clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that I saw the Tim Curry one, I was not scared at all.
Mm.
And I feel like this delivered on what I wanted to experience originally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that Bill Skarsgård is horrifying, but also hysterical.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed this It.
Yeah, the opening scene of It was actually sufficiently creepy.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, you know, because the Tim Curry one, there's something like, oh, hey, you like, oh, you want to come down here? Oh.
It's more pedophile-y than, like, it is horror. Well, I guess pedophilia would be its own kind of horror, but still.
That is. Yeah. That is. You know what I mean? That's a very particular type of creepy, and the Bill Skarsgård kind of did give those vibes. Anyone who's talking to a child from a train is, you know, like that, but it was more sinister.
I guess it's true, yeah.
Yeah. It definitely was more sinister. So, that's a good one, too. It's also just, like, it feels like a buddy movie, but like with a bunch of friends, like five friends. You know?
Of course. I mean, you have like the kids all working together to kind of solve this supernatural mystery.
Yeah.
You know,
very thematic for Stephen King.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. He loves that.
All right. Well, my number three, I actually went across all genres here. So, you know, I didn't even do that on purpose, but my number three is an 80s sci-fi movie. It's The Fly.
Oh, that's actually a really good one.
Yeah, so the original is the Vincent Price one from the 50s. And
I've never seen that.
The remake is the 1980s with Jeff Goldblum by David mm-hmm. Cronenberg. So the 50s one is your typical sci-fi 50s movie. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like a experiment gone wrong and it becomes a fly. But the best thing that I think, if you don't know the movie, you at least know the ending. Because the thing about the original Fly is that it's just simply his head becomes a fly, and then the rest of his body is, can now fly and is reduced to the size of a fly. That's how the original fly is. So in the original, it ends with him getting stuck on a spider web and him crying out, help me, and like somebody who's sitting at like a bench in the park listening to it, and like he's about to die and being eaten by a spider web. Yeah, kind of disturbing.
That is disturbing.
Yeah, when I saw it as a kid, it was like really disturbing. But there was also not much commentary going on and all this stuff. It was just kind of like a fun watch. When you go on over to the 80s and David Cronenberg takes this property and he makes it his own, you know, he makes it this beautiful body horror film, you know, watching this man's body mm-hmm. decay and also just watching the state of being decay, you know, like, and it becomes this beautiful sort of self-tragedy right. where, you know, like a person just who's slowly killing themselves. And that's another ending that's also really disturbing, but yet you could either look at it as super disturbing or super beautiful, and spoilers, but, you know, he keeps doing it to the point where, like, he's just completely, like, he's losing himself and he's becoming a full-fledged fly because of yeah. his machine that, you know, backfired on him.
Right.
So at the end, when he's coming out of the machine and he's, like, on all floors and he at least still has his brain, but the rest of him is a fly, and he puts the gun to his head, you know, it's just so tragic.
That's a movie that I'm surprised hasn't been, like, attempted to be remade.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised.
I'm glad because, you know, I really like it the way it is.
I would say, I'm surprised Hollywood hasn't, like, kind of dusted that property and just been like, we're going to remake this.
That's true. Yeah.
You know?
But don't give him any ideas. Let's keep it that way.
Hopefully Hollywood is listening.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully Hollywood, leave that one alone, I tell you. All right, cool. Number twos.
Number two for me would be Star Trek by J.J. Abrams.
And, I see.
Yeah, and I picked the reason I think I picked Star Trek is because I think Star Trek by J.J. Abrams does such a good job of kind of at least showing respect to the original property
mm-hmm.
and saying, it's just like, I'm going to remake this, but I'm not going to just like forget about the original, right? We're going to remake this in a way that will honor the original one and still keep it like in continuity while still creating our own thing. And I think that was such a at the time when it came out, it was such a new way of trying to do a remake, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, is that a reboot? No, it's a remake because we're remaking the original storyline.
Yeah, even though you could technically say with the parallel.
They flipped the roles.
Yeah, they did. They flipped the roles.
Yeah.
And then, but isn't there like a parallel universe?
Correct.
Yeah, it got officially recognized as a parallel universe in an episode of Discovery, where they make
a reference to it.
So
that's interesting too, because one, it includes itself as a part of the original canon, but then you could also say that technically also can make it either a reboot or a remake. Yeah. It was really smart of them.
Yeah, no, it was. It breaks a lot of rules and it keeps it fresh and it. Yeah. It's an entertaining movie. I mean, outside of the lens flare, I think the movie is actually like a very, very fun movie to watch. No spoiler here, guys. I go for a lot of fun stuff. Like, I like to, when I watch movies, yeah, there's a time to watch like actual films, but usually I like to watch movies to be entertained. And I think Star Trek, it hits, you know, it's very entertaining.
Yeah, it is.
It's a fun watch. And because especially considering, I think the original property, the original Star Trek, especially the original Star Trek movies, they could be a little on the dull side because they're really dealing with a lot of the politics of the Federation. So, you know, J.J. Abrams was just like, well, we don't need to worry about the politics. Let's just focus on the action.
Yeah, true. And the origin story.
Yep.
Kind of, too. So, yeah. Nice. So, yeah. Cool.
Eddie, what's your number two pick?
My number two pick, also from a Stephen King book. Pet Sematary. I really loved the new Pet Sematary movie. I was actually a big fan of this book, the first movie, and this one too. I think it did an awesome job of just like really creeping me out, giving me the frights, and also pulling on my heartstrings of like that whole desire of not wanting to let go of people that pass on.
Yeah.
But then the twistedness of when they do return.
Yeah.
For sure. And it was really smart to have an older actress play the role of your child. And
Oh, for
that
sure.
That was so creepy.
For sure.
It was just way more effective.
You know what's so sad about the Pet Sematary thing? Because I remember I said, I think you all we may have gotten into a debate about this, right? But I was just like, of course I see the validity of like going to that place and trying to bring back your loved one. Especially I feel like now we could all relate because both of us have lost pets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And how much happier would we be just to have the feeling of the pet being back?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Even if it's not 100%.
Even though it's not them. But I think on some level you will make excuses. You will, yeah. You know,
for
you'll
sure.
Make reasons.
You'll overlook
like,
things.
It's okay. Yeah. You will. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So, yeah. You know, Eddie, we can pick ones that we haven't covered on the podcast. Or is it just happening that you're doing like all of the ones on your list happen to be things that we
it just happened to
covered.
Be things I think
look at that
the, yeah
nice.
No it just happened to be that and I remember just like being very passionate about these particular
yeah Pet Sematary is your favorite episode too yeah. So
I don't know how true this is, but I did hear that when he wrote Pet Sematary, after he wrote it, Stephen King fully rejected the book and like found it very disturbing, and it was like a really dark part of himself.
Well, that might be true because he did base it off an actual event that happened to him. His daughter almost, I think his daughter or his son may have almost died the way the kid dies in the book.
Yeah. Oh,
so it was a very close book to him.
Yeah.
So he actually, that might be true.
That would make sense.
Yeah. There's something particularly dark, even for Stephen King, about Pet Sematary and personal. So, mm-hmm. All right. Well, what's your number two, baby?
Freaky Friday.
Oh, fun. Which one?
The Lindsay Lohan one.
Okay.
Oh.
Just, it's so quotable. Jamie Lee Curtis as Lindsay Lohan is my favorite anything ever. Just, you're ruining my life. The whole everything. Yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
From and the beginning
song,
to end.
That song that they sing at the end.
Ultimate.
How's that go?
No, I'm not gonna sing it. You can't trick me.
I just remember it being a good song.
It is a good song.
Vidal. I haven't heard that name in forever.
Oh yeah. My god, I love Christina Vidal. Brink, amazing.
Yeah, I was actually just confusing her now with Christina Milian, who happens to be from Union City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew her cousin. Really
oh wow,
well.
Really? Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. Get her on our podcast. I don't know what we could have her for.
I mean, I knew.
Yeah.
So is that one of your favorite comedies too, or is it just you just love that movie?
I just love that movie. I love the original, not the original Freaky Friday with Jodie Foster.
Yeah,
is that
Jodie
correct?
Foster, yeah.
The second one with
Shelley Long
and Gabby Hoffman. I enjoyed that a lot when I was a kid.
Mm. Yeah, I remember that one.
And Freaky Friday, the one with Lindsay Lohan, like exceeded those standards for me.
Yeah, so. It's actually a really surprisingly good movie.
It's a good movie.
All right, well, my number two is now going from, I guess this is still kind of sci-fi, but I think this is more of a horror film. Sorry, I looked at anyway, mine is The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing, which is a remake of The Thing from Another World, a 1951 movie. So it's funny how they're taking all these 50s movies and in the 80s making them better. But it's interesting because The Thing from Another World is so nothing like The Thing. It's, you know, these guys, I mean, it's got the basic concept of these guys kind of like on a mission in the Arctic. And then they, you know, they find this thing hidden in the snow and then they melt it and it comes to life. And it's, I think it's, who plays Marshall Mark Dillon on Gunsmoke? I think it's him. I can't remember the actor's name now, but he's just like this big, tall, almost like Frankensteinish being that they just can't seem to control. Mm-hmm. Whereas Carpenter's The Thing just kind of makes it this, how would you even describe that? Like, he can become you. He's a shapeshifter. There we go. A shape-shifting alien that you don't know. It's like, who amongst you is the bad guy? It's a beautiful whodunit murder mystery as a horror film with shape-shifting aliens. And it's got the greatest line ever of an action movie at the end where it's like the hero says something and then like an explosion or someone dies. Uh-huh. It's when Kurt Russell turns to the thing and goes, yeah, fuck you too. And then throws it at him and he... blows up. It's fantastic.
I mean, one of my favorite sequences in that movie is when they're all experimenting, they're testing each other's blood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Talk about
high
so stakes, like you're just on the edge of your seat to like kind of find out like who is it.
Yeah. It's so fantastic. And didn't they do like a nod to that in your favorite movie, The Faculty?
The Faculty does get a nod to that one. Yes, it
does. And, yeah, it's so suspenseful. It's so good. Yeah, it just gets you. So, yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Well, sure. I guess it's time for number ones.
Our number ones. So I'll be upfront. I was going to say Batman Begins, but I feel after what I did with Star Trek, I think Batman Begins will qualify more so as a reboot.
Yeah.
So we're not qualified for this one. So in terms of remakes, I was just looking through a quick list of like remakes, right? Mm-hmm. And see which one like gave me like a gut reaction. And actually the first one on there was Dawn of the Dead. And I think, you know what? That's fair. That one would create like a gut reaction for me because I actually do thoroughly enjoy A Dawn of the Dead by, not Eli Roth, Zack Snyder.
Who, back when he was a good and promising filmmaker.
I mean, no, I agree with you. I think his work can be so kind of
music video-y.
Yeah, like it's just like there's no, it's just all,
it's rapid.
Yeah, that's it. And
I got so many words to describe.
You
do. Zack Snyder.
But you don't see that actually. It's the work in Dawn of the Dead is a lot more stripped down than when you think of Zack Snyder. And I think that's why it works. And I think the other thing that works about this movie, outside of the performances, is the soundtrack. I mean, this movie had such a interesting soundtrack. It gave us Richard Cheese and his rendition of Down with the Sickness during that montage sequence. And it just works so well. And it's one of my favorite horror movies. I think it helped revitalize the zombie franchise. I mean, obviously 28 Days Later, for sure. Without 20 Days Later, you wouldn't have Dawn of the Dead. But without Dawn of the Dead kind of making those zombies again fast, similar to 28 Days Later, without kind of giving it that kind of I just feel like because of it, it kind of brought the zombie genre back. And now we have Walking Dead, for example. That's
franchise
early, that's just never ending.
Seriously, you know? Early 2000s we're super into zombies mm-hmm. aren't around as much anymore, you know. But then year we had Shaun of the Dead, you know, which I also think is a good reason that the zombie genre got revitalized. So. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. I mean, between 28 Days Later, Shaun of the Dead is another good example. And Dawn of the Dead, I think that's what really set off like the zombie obsession of the aughts.
Yeah. And those zombies are scary. They're not just like,
they were
walking around.
They were
fast. And,
you know, and I think just like all good zombie movies, I mean, a good zombie movie is never about the zombies. Like that's just, that's usually just the setting. This one, obviously, it's all about how do we all cohabitate? How do we all survive? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what tends to make the zombie movies so much more enjoyable.
For sure.
So,
I agree.
So Dawn of the Dead would be my number one.
Nice top three.
Thank you. Yeah. Very pop culture-y.
Yes.
Eddie, what is your number one favorite remake?
My number one favorite, and I hope I'm not stealing it from anyone, A Star is Born.
Oh, that's a really good one, actually.
Yeah, no, not mine. Okay. That's a good one, though.
Which one? The most recent one?
Yeah, the most recent one with Lady Gaga.
I actually would have put that one too. I actually did consider it.
That one just left an impression on me. I was just very moved by their performance, moved by that movie, that story. I don't know. I just left the theater just really being impressed by Lady Gaga's handling of that character. And the depth that she took that character.
Yeah. She did a good job.
And I'm not usually like movies have to do with like, you know, just like a Selena thing where it's like a star starting off and, you know, they become a famous singer. But but this one just really her relationship and her marriage and just their ups and downs, just kind of like I felt it.
Yeah.
A Star is Born indeed, because I mean we all know Lady Gaga is pure talent when it comes to music, but then when you see her on screen as an actress, it's just like, oh, she is just raw talent everywhere.
Yeah.
Just oozing with it.
You would agree with that, right, babe?
Not a fan of her music, or not a fan of her acting.
Well, we haven't watched A Star is Born. So.
I haven't watched it.
Oh, you haven't seen A Star is Born?
No.
I don't think you've watched any version, right?
I haven't seen a single version of A Star is Born.
Oh, well, you know, I skipped the Barbara Streisand one.
I love Barbara Streisand.
No, watch them
I would
all
say watch them all.
I think she's so much fun.
Definitely. Oh, I mean, just
I get a kick out of her. I think she's great.
Oh, Barbara's the best. I mean, we, you know, even in the episode when we discussed it too, like Barbara herself is just a force that she made the movie enjoyable.
Chris Christoph is just so
he was
bad.
So terrible. Yeah.
He's oh yeah. Terrible. I heard how you felt about that. No. He sucks. Yeah. He sounds like he sucks for sure.
Yeah. It almost did ruin the movie, and for Orlando, it did.
It really did. It became my it was my least favorite out of all four of them.
Really, I thought the Judy Garland one was for some.
Judy
reason.
Garland one, I actually maybe there is a tie between now. I'm like in that's retrospect, terrible. It might be a tie. No, yeah, the first one is number two for me. The original
one. Yeah, it's
pretty
outrageous for sure.
It's controversial
for me.
It's a popular opinion for sure.
Hot take.
Well, that was a really good choice, Eddie. Definitely, and one of our favorite episodes again.
Yes.
On this show. So you should go back and listen. We've said go back and listen to A Star Is Born like at least seven times.
Yeah, because it was one of our first episodes and I feel like we didn't have our audience yet. Yeah. So hopefully they go back and listen.
Yeah,
I feel like
definitely.
Also, that was one of the episodes we really we really went in depth with that one. Mm-hmm. And we also had fun with it.
Yeah.
We had
yeah.
so much to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, well, you know. Judy Garland, Barbara Streisand, Lady Gaga, you know, a bunch of queens. I mean, we had a ball. So
we started finding our voice also, I think, in that episode.
For sure.
As a podcast.
And was that one of our first little movies that we did? The little movies that we used to do?
Little yes, movies? That was our first one. Yeah, we used to do our little spoofs in our parody.
Remember the wig?
Oh, yes, yeah. yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Still one of our best. We came up with that on a whim. That's on our YouTube, guys. So if you watch this video, scroll for our Star Is Born parody because it's actually really funny.
Worth watching.
Yeah. All right, awesome. What about you, babe? What's your number one?
I didn't know that this was a remake, but it's A Little Princess.
The Little Princess is a remake?
Yeah, there was an earlier version.
Yeah, I think in 1937.
Mm-hmm. There was an old Hollywood version of A Little Princess with Shirley Temple.
Of course.
Oh, wow, I didn't even know that. I'm actually not even familiar with The Little Princess at all.
It's
so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm not going to overstep you, baby. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Like, A Little Princess is such a heartstring tugging movie that anytime if you have seen it, if you hear about it, you're like, oh my god, that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot not cry watching
okay.
that movie. It's so good. It's What's magical.
It's very touching.
I saw the Shirley Temple version. That's the one
did that make you cry? I can't. I mean, Heidi made me cry, so I know she can make you cry.
Shirley Temple's great.
That one did make you cry. But the one that you're speaking about now, which version is this one? What year?
I think it came out in 1994,
1995.
1995. Okay. Now, what 95. Is The Little Princess about? Is it literally about a little princess? If you had to give me like a summary without spoiling it, because I'll check it out.
A girl is taken away to a school while her father is off fighting in a war.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's an all-girl school, and it...
Is it like Mean Girls?
Ooh,
there are Mean Girls in
there
it.
Are mean
there
girls
are Mean
in
Girls.
The school.
It's like a mean boarding
but
school.
But like the whole thing about it is that you like her spirit is so strong.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
They don't know if the father is dead or not. He's gone missing, right? Oh. So they just like this girl is unclaimed. You know, she has no one to look over her.
So she loses her status because of that. So instead of like being like her going to classes just like everybody else, she has to work now. In the school.
Mm-hmm.
So the other kids make fun of her because
she has
like,
to earn her keep.
She has to earn her keep and she has to like clean the fireplace and stuff. And she always has like little dirt on her face. And
this reminds me a little bit of what's that movie? We were going to cover it on the podcast, but we never did.
Secret Garden. Garden. That's so funny because they're both written by they're both books written by Frances Hodgson Burnett. I guess that's
and those two movies when I was a kid, The Secret Garden and The Little Princess, came hand in hand for me.
Yeah, in
I
the 90s they came out like almost the same year.
Oh, interesting. And Secret Garden, the 90s one, when I saw it, I never had seen it, and I found myself like very much liking it.
Oh,
it's good,
nice.
Right?
Yeah, I like that movie.
The thing about A Little Princess from 1995 is that that's directed by Alfonso Cuarón. So that's a fantastic film.
How
like
interesting.
And that's, gorgeous. I think, why it's so good and why when you revisit it as an adult, you're like, well, this is a great movie. And this is why it's, you know, struck me as so beautiful and sentimental as a child, because it's in the hands of someone who's a really talented filmmaker. He was still making his way in Hollywood, of course.
Yeah.
So they just gave him like some kids movie and he made it beautiful.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah. Okay, maybe we'll check that one out.
I encourage you to watch it.
Yeah, watch it.
I was just thinking about the Secret Garden and how that was such a great story too.
Yeah. And, you know, I am in a book club, so I might take one of these Frances Hodgson Burnett books and be like, let's read them, you know.
Let's do it.
Yeah, they seem like worthwhile reads. So okay. That was a great pick, actually.
That was a great pick.
And now I want to watch it again.
And I want to see this version.
Yeah.
It's a big cry.
And maybe if they remake it, we'll watch it. Who knows? My number one is actually kind of predictable. At least I think it's predictable. But
Let me pick. Is it an Elvis related movie?
No, he was never in a remake like that. Maybe.
Blue Suede Shoes?
Well, that was a song that he remade, but.
What's your movie, Nicole?
Mine's a Western.
Oh, and okay.
It is A Fistful of Dollars. That is a remake of Akira Kurosawa's Yojimbo. Now, I'm going to clarify that I think Yojimbo is the superior film, but I think the fact that Sergio Leone saw Yojimbo was like, I want to make a shot-for-shot remake of this, but as a Western, made it. And then, you know, consequently, Kurosawa sued him and all this stuff, but he was like, it's cool, you know, just don't do it again.
Wait, he was sued?
He was sued because it was not an authorized remake.
So even changing the genre enough, isn't it enough to qualify as like just enough changing?
Yeah, because what do you mean? Like
changing, I would assume as a creator, if I saw a movie that I liked and I basically took that idea and shot it as a different genre, right? I feel like that would clarify it. Maybe it's just like, I can't get sued. It's just like,
yeah,
ideas. You can't copyright ideas.
Well, that's the thing though, is that it was also, he took a lot of shots, you know, like he took Kurosawa's template and took it from there.
That might fall under IP.
Yeah, and I think it was also just pure fanboyish of him at the end of the day, which is why, you know, it wasn't the biggest deal, but it made Clint Eastwood into a star. You know, it revitalized and redefined the Western genre. Because the Italian perspective of Westerns has been completely redefining for the Western genre. After that, too, Italy went through just this whole phase where they were turning out Westerns all throughout the rest of the 60s. It didn't stop until like the early 70s that they really stopped making it. People were over it. And in that short time frame, the Italian Westerns, like I said, if you think of Westerns and you like have, you know, like sound effects or like, you know, character types or even like sometimes the imageries that you associate with it, you're probably thinking of an Italian Western. It was just such an influential film. And it's just for so many reasons. It might not be better than Yojimbo, but the fact that it exists and what it sparked is just worth being probably one of the best remade films of all time. I don't ever get to talk about these Westerns on
this podcast. Speaking of not being able to talk about Westerns, is there an announcement that you want to make, Nicole? Or do you want to
Not yet. I'll hold off on that one.
But there is something brewing on Nicole's end. So yes, hopefully we have an announcement to drop soon because I am helping her with it.
Yes. I am very much looking forward to sharing this with you guys. So.
Yes.
But yes, so those are our top threes. What are your top threes? We would love to hear what you guys have to say. You know, you probably have movie remakes that we didn't even think of. So like we said, email us, remakesreboots@revivals.com. We're active on Instagram @remakesrebootsrevivals. Watch this YouTube video and comment on the link. YouTube, Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. You know, it doesn't get simpler as to how to find us. Just find us.
Yes, it's true. And I want to say the email address, remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com, one more time. So that way you guys email us. We actually do love hearing from you. We actually just got very nice fan mail before that we might read on the air next week. I always think, you know, those stories are like lovely.
For sure.
You know, figuring out your sexuality because of TV. Because I feel like a lot of us did that, either watching through movies or TV. So
100%. And to those of us who have emailed us, you know, we encourage you every week, and some of you have actually done it, so thank you very much. And we appreciate your emails and reaching out. Don't think we don't, because we don't respond.
Yeah, so please do reach out, everyone. We love hearing from you guys. And do leave us a review and a rating. It will help other people find us. And I don't know, I guess, is that it?
Yeah, Jenny, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thanks for having me.
Is this Jenny a dream come true, Jenny?
Yes, it's an honor. That's so exciting.
We're compulsive list makers. So yes. I was like, oh, we're going to do it. So you got to come on the show. So.
Well, yeah, you guys were ready with five. It was just like five. I don't.
We like doing top fives for sure. Yeah. We even have like obscure top five lists, but we'll maybe for another episode.
Maybe so, for another episode.
Yeah. But until then, stay an original.